It's not a competition. It does suck, though.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, returning guest Tony Miller joins us to talk about being an atheist and celebrating weddings. As a secular celebrant, do you do religious weddings or not?
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Oh, it's me, Molly Glover.
It is. And Nick Glover.
That one's me. I'm that guy.
And here we are in the middle of the Minnesota Renaissance season, and that means we have some of our favorite returning guests. First up is our good friend, Tony Miller.
Hi.
Hi, yay. Tony. Welcome back. We aren't recording in the trailer studios, though.
No, we can't.
We can't.
It's forbidden.
It's verboten. Because right. Nick and Molly are no longer working at the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
By choice,
right?
And that means that they don't get to come down to the campground.
No, nope.
Yep. Have to come down to the campground.
No sweltering crammed into your tiny. It says 4 on the packet, but it's a 2-person booth.
It's true. We're a lot more comfortable.
And Nick and I are not small men.
Yes.
We're not small men.
That's
very
fair.
True.
Yeah.
Although you're a lot smaller this year. You look fabulous.
I shrunk up a little bit.
That's awesome.
I also gained an inch in height.
Yeah. No. When
back.
I lost weight,
yeah.
I realized I gained back an inch and a half when I started standing more upright because I was in better shape. No,
yep.
Totally.
Yeah.
Welcome to
core
the
muscles.
Grown past 40.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're past 40.
No, 38. Oh.
Dang,
38 he's getting there.
Wow.
Close though. Close
youngsters.
Though.
We got multiple decades.
It's all the Reed Richards in his beard that makes him. Yeah, our podcast is 30s, 40s, 50s. That's
60s.
I just
turned 60
we're
doing this
great.
Year.
We span.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Congrats.
So
I feel
so well done,
great.
Everybody. That
yeah.
has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about, but it's all right. We are actually here to talk about something that all of us have in common, although I probably have it the least in common of the four of us, officiating weddings as a secular officiant. All of us have our certificate, the right to marry people. I don't know where you have it from, Tony.
The ULC, which is fairly ubiquitous.
Me too.
I did some research coming before I came tonight. The ULC came about in 1959.
That is Universal Life Church for those
Universal
of you
Life Church monasteries, just ULC for short.
Yeah.
They are accepted almost in every state of the United States, except for the entire state of Tennessee, parts of northern New York, and random parts of North Carolina.
Okay.
Like counties or towns?
Counties in North Carolina. Towns and geographic area in North Carolina, the whole state of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, Tennessee.
Yeah, well.
We wouldn't go there to perform a wedding anyway.
Yeah.
This came about basically because of the ubiquity of the stranglehold that different religious organizations have on marriage as an institution in the United States. And so in 1959, at the time, two friends of the guy who originated the whole church of ULC basically just wanted him to marry them. And it has been fought all the way. There's been 15 different court cases over the last 20 years recognizing. And it's been fought by the ACLU. It's been fought by different atheist organizations to legitimize non-theistic officiants.
It's a civil union in that sense that, like, what's happening is this is a governmental thing we're doing, right?
Right.
Like, and because the government's involved, I personally feel that religion literally cannot be a requirement, you know, like, in order for it to happen.
Molly, my officiant, was a retired judge because they can do weddings.
Yes.
In Minnesota, yep.
Yep.
Right. Well, it started off as civil unions, but it's actually been fought for full-fledged wedding duty.
I guess
basically.
What I mean is a marriage is a union that is a secular union.
Yes.
That's what I meant by civil. Not the separate but equal civil unions that were offered to gays and others
in a variety of states before it became, I think 2015 is when
federal legal. I mean it as a marriage is a government institution because it has to be, and therefore it to my mind cannot require religion to be involved because of the separation of church and state.
Right,
that's how I think it should be anyway.
I totally agree, and with the advent of ULC in particular, it really forces some very interesting legal repercussions and religious repercussions, because for Tennessee, and this is still underway, it's going to be up into the regional court or district court, and eventually maybe we'll go to the Supreme Court if they choose to hear it. Tennessee has voted through legislature that the ULC and other similar organizations are not real. So now you have government choosing what is and what is not a faith, a church, that kind of thing. And so, it becomes very sticky very quickly.
Yeah.
It's very recent, too. I think I just saw something about that in the last week that was like they're trying to eventually escalate to a point where they can make universal life church officiants invalid or not
count. Right, right. Well,
although, you know, The interesting thing here is, as horrifying as the landscape of the Supreme Court is, they are really, really reticent to do anything that's like a national law. You know, the probably the worst that would happen if it made it to the U.S. Supreme Court is they would say, well, state of Tennessee can do what they want.
Or states can decide.
And then you get other states to be like, sweet, we get to do it too. But then there'd be a bunch of, you know, California would be like, well, fuck that, we don't give a shit.
It's interesting you just bring that up, because I was reading about there's a word for it, and I always space out these words right as I sit out. There's reciprocity laws. For instance, in California, you can marry a first cousin, but Nevada, you can't.
Yeah.
So if you, and they have to reciprocally admit the different marriages as legal because of some overarching laws. So if you try to get married in Nevada through a non-religious organization, like in, say, an atheist, like we are, it will not be recognized by either state. However, if you go to California and marry your cousin, because it's legal there, Nevada, even though it has statutes against it, has to accept that as legal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the statutes and the legal approaches that same-sex marriage used, because in some states it was semi-legal for civil unions, like you brought up before. And then finally it just got to the point where 30 laws passed. And Minnesota, we were all here when it happened.
Yep.
Minnesota, we had a podcast about this.
Yep. Yeah.
We were all afraid that it was not going to, the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah.
That so far at that point, 8 states had passed. Minnesota might have been the 9th.
When we recorded the podcast, which I believe is titled Vote No, I'll try to remember to put a link to it. When we recorded the podcast, polls would suggest that amendment was going to pass.
We were the first state that rejected making it double plus legal.
And because of this state, and thank you Minnesota voters who did this, it started the domino effect where eventually within 2 years 30 states had passed same-sex, and then the Supreme Court had to address it.
I'm still salty that we didn't make it illegal. We didn't make it legal at a state level. We had to wait for it to become legal on a federal level.
No, we made it legal at a state level before it went federal.
Yeah, the year after we voted no.
In June.
The Democrats controlled state House, state Senate, and the governor's office, and they went ahead and passed legalized same-sex marriage.
I remember I watched it at work, with my friend Mark, who is gay. We ran into each other's offices and hugged, and we were crying, and it was a huge deal.
It was a really amazingly rapid turnaround from thinking we were about to constitutionally make same-sex marriage illegal to passing laws to make it legal in less than a year state.
Once your more humanistic people realize that, hey, wait a minute, we can affect legislature. We don't just have to sit there and take it from the evangelicals, kind of what we're doing now. I do want to kind of shift gears back into original idea for today's broadcast.
Oh, whatever.
Which is being a humanist, secular, or atheist officiant in purportedly a more Christian culture, at least touchstone Christian culture. And if you guys have faced any challenges, I just got done with my 115th wedding.
Oh, wow.
And I married two friends of mine, Stefan and Adam. And it was a legal wedding. They were about my sixth, and I'm going to hate to use this terminology. They're my sixth gay wedding.
Sure.
I want to get to the point, and we've talked about this. I just want to say my 115th wedding with my dear friends, Stefan and Adam.
Yeah.
Right.
But because there's still pushback,
yeah,
I think it's important to mark these things.
You want to get to that point where we're past it. It's not an issue. There's no such thing as gay marriage. It's all just fucking marriage.
And the reason I brought up being an atheist is because I've performed full on Christian weddings.
You have?
Yeah. In North Carolina in particular, some in Arizona, full on Southern Baptist invocation of prayers. I've done a 17th century Catholic mass.
Even though you are not any kind of registered member of those clergies.
Correct.
Interesting. So the people involved obviously knew that.
No.
Oh.
Whoa.
Here's the thing. I never bring up what I believe.
Sure.
And it used to drive my mom, my very conservative Mennonite Christian mom, used to drive her nuts. She goes, well, how can you perform a Christian wedding when I'm an atheist? I'm a hardcore atheist.
Yeah.
And this is my rationalization, and it is a rationalization. I fully own to it. These weddings that I do are not about me.
Hmm.
I am willing to speak in the language that is most sacred for the couple and their community. In all these weddings I've done, I've only been asked once if I was a Christian, and that was by an uncle of one of the brides. He came up and goes, so are you a Christian? And this is my response. No.
Yeah.
I paused for a good... I counted the seconds. I counted five seconds. I was very friendly, but I said, no. Are you? And he goes, yes. And, of course, by the end of the reception, he confessed all of his sins to me.
Of course. Like they do.
Because it is really interesting. I've never been asked if I'm a Christian. Because I stand in for the official officiant of several different festivals, there are a lot of assumptions made. But I married this one couple in North Carolina. Both sides were Southern Baptist. They themselves were Wiccan.
Uh-huh.
And they were having a big time issue with that. So I said, well, if you want to stay after the reception, there's an oak tree. I'll bring a wand. I'll bring a broom. Yeah. If you want to bring some cords, I'll hand fast you.
Nice.
My goal as an officiant is to talk in the language that is most meaningful to the couple I'm marrying. And once again, it's not about me.
Sure.
Yeah. A Swiss Army knife officiant.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I take literally the opposite approach. Mm-hmm. I won't do any ceremonies. I always say to couples when they want to book me, the first thing I say is I'm a completely secular officiant. I do not make any mention of gods, goddesses, energies, spirits, you know, anything like that in my ceremonies. And if you want that, I can recommend several people who can do any of that you want for you. But I feel personally that the person you want doing your wedding should believe the words they're saying with their whole heart. And to me, because I think it is a sacred, you know, thing for whatever there is for, you know, sacrament in my, you know, atheist heart. But, you know, and so to me, it's like, I want to make sure I'm believing what I'm saying. I don't want to be internally rolling my eyes while I'm doing your wedding. I feel like that is similar to how, like, you know, it's like, sure, I mean, I'll go to church, Grandma, but I'm not going to pray because that's just empty words and lip service. It feels, you know, like, if it matters to you, I'll do it. But, you know, we need to understand that I'm not, you know, believing it. So, and I know that I've never lost business from it. I've never had anyone say, well, then we don't want you. Mm-hmm. I've never had anyone say, oh, they're always like, yeah, that's what we want. One time I got secret Jesus'd. And that was very that,
secret
yep,
Jesus.
And that sucked. Like, really, I felt a little betrayed a little bit, because what happened was I did a wedding at the Renaissance Festival. It was very upfront, like I always am. Oh, that's fine. What we want is completely secular. We don't want any mention of any of that. We don't want any of that. I'm like, great. We go down to the secret garden, and it's just this couple and their three kids. They're getting married, and they get to the part where they've written their own vows, and their vows are so Jesus. It's like, the Lord came to me and showed me you and taught me the error of my ways, and I am but a servant both to you, my husband, and to God, him before all things. That is what, and I was just sitting there like there were no, I mean, it was just me and the kids, right? So the kids aren't paying attention. They're bored. They're like six and under.
Right.
They're just sitting in their little wagon, and I am just like trying to keep my face impassive, but I am just angry because it's like, this feels like
you,
I would have gotten you someone else. Why are you, why am I here? Am I just because I'm available and cheap? That feels like, it feels tawdry to me, you know?
There's a certain myopia that happens during weddings.
Mm-hmm.
People get really focused on the minutiae of the details and they kind of lose the big picture. And I feel it's incumbent upon us as officiants to provide direction, to provide a little bit of an overall sense of framework and structure. Because I am the officiant for a couple of shows, I take my cue off the main minister of the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Because my friends got married and they were very secular. And I talked to him. I said, do you perform Christian weddings? Oh, yes. I said, are you a Christian? He goes, that doesn't really matter.
Hmm.
And I went, why not? He goes, I'm here to provide a ceremony for these people. And I just went, and so I never thought that years later, part of my career would be a professional officiant.
Yeah,
and
but it stuck with you.
And yeah, it really stuck with me because he honored the institution. He was there to support the couple and the people, provide for them. And he was really humble about it.
And I feel like if it weren't just a hobby for me, if it were something where I was actually trying to make a business out of it or a professional situation, as opposed to this is something I do for fun, I like it. When I worked at the Renaissance Festival, I did it more often. I don't do a lot of weddings outside of there, except for friends here and there.
It's usually, if we're marrying someone, it has been either someone at the Renaissance Festival who's getting married there, or a friend or someone we know, or someone that's like professionally familiar with what we do on stage that's asking us.
Yeah. So I think that I would you know, have, I think, an attitude more like yours, maybe, if I, or like the guy at the Bellagio, if I was the officiant for a show, or the officiant for a hotel. Sure, that would make sense to me.
Yeah, and I have been ordained in the Universal Life Church. I've been certified in the state of Minnesota. I can perform weddings, and I've done it once, and I don't make a big deal out of it. It's not really part of my identity, if anybody ever asked, but 9 times out of 10, if somebody's going to ask me to do something for their wedding, it's going to be to sing.
Yeah.
So, yep. I mean, I participate in weddings a lot.
Mm-hmm. I was your microphone stand once.
Yes.
At a wedding that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. For instance.
I was officiant and microphone stand for the entirety of Virgin Sturgeon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So,
you are a Renaissance woman.
That's right. Yes.
And so, you know, there, I've been asked to perform secular and religious tunes at a wedding, and I don't believe the religious tunes, but if the couple is somebody that I care about, I don't care. I guess for me, it's a little bit of being an actor. It's like when I'm playing a role, I'm not that guy, right? I'm just playing a role. So if the role you're asking me to play is the guy who sings this song for you at their wedding, I'm going to sing it the best I can.
It's I don't disagree with that outlook. I don't disagree with that philosophy. It's just not mine.
Right. Yeah.
And this is really one of those things where I feel like the opinion is entirely personal and subjective. I don't judge anyone else that is an atheist that does non-secular ceremonies. I just don't think I could do it myself because it feels dishonest to me.
And if that couple had said to me, well, okay, so it really actually, funny story, we really do love Jesus and it really does matter to us. Is it okay if we put it in our personal vows? I would have been like, of course, I'll still do your wedding. That isn't me saying it. Yeah. It was just, it felt duplicitous, and I know it wasn't intended to be that way, but in the moment, it was just such a, like,
it was startling.
It was such a startling shock, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm just gonna stand here while this woman talks about how she's going to be subservient to a man because God told her to, and I'm just going to be like, cool, kids, this is okay, and I'm okay with it. Hi, I'm Olive. Like, you know, like, it just felt very, like, yeah.
And I grappled with this. My first couple of weddings, I really grappled with this because they asked, could we have a straight Baptist wedding? And I'm like, can I? Because I look at myself as a man of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
is this being a man of integrity?
Yeah.
And I did. I came down very similar to what you were thinking, Tim. This isn't about me, Tony Miller, being. Mm-hmm. This is about the officiant for the Renaissance Festival providing a wedding. Last year, I did a full-on Wiccan wedding. I drew a circle. I did invocation pentacles. Mm-hmm. I studied this very strong. And I asked the young couple, oh, we're Wiccan, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, are you Gardnerian? Are you private path? And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I provided them, I had broom jump. I had the three cord, the black, the red, the white cord. I've married two Sith Lords to each other. I have married a companion. Yeah, right.
There can
only
be two.
Right in the middle.
There must always be two.
Well, these in North Carolina, and I had
Sith Lord marriages.
Well, I mean, just as long as the others aren't Sith Lords.
Sure,
no, they
like
were
two Siths and a bounty hunter would be
exactly.
Fun.
Yeah. There's a whole planet of Sith.
Oh, Sith are a people whose name was co-opted by the Dark Jedi.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yes.
And I had a Jedi stand up, and the lady force choked him, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I did a wedding where I, at the end, said, by the power vested in me by the state of Minnesota, Captain Picard, Captain Kirk, Lord, just like His Royal Majesty, Daenerys Targaryen, Breaker of Chains, like the whole thing, and it was like, nice. And the state of Minnesota, that's what they wanted.
Wasn't that Dennis and Heather's?
Dennis and Heather's was had a lot of that, but not the full on.
It was
the geeky wedding we did together.
Oh.
At Renfest.
Sure,
that
I remember
was
that.
Like they were like, we want it full on geeky. We want it so geeky that people are going to be rolling their eyes. Even our geek friends are going to be like, this is too much. And that was
and
fun.
You're like, done and done.
Yeah, right?
Well, thank you.
The ceremony that we both use, Molly wrote. And we've both customized for people that we do, but
the basics,
the basic, ceremony is a focus on love
and sincerity
and the couple together and them, because that's how our marriage is. That's how we feel like, I don't know. That's just how we kind of identify and recognize marriage for us is a secular thing, because they're not marrying God, they're marrying each other, and that's what we focus on.
What I find interesting, because I've been doing this now for 11 years, their younger generation, by younger from about 35 and below, raised in heavily Christian communities, churches, more and more they go, well, we're spiritual, we're not religious.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents are very Baptist, our parents are very Catholic, so if we could maybe have a few touches of God, but could you do non-denominational, or could you do secular, could you do humanist?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Almost, I would have to say 95% of my weddings are secular, humanist variations on
mm-hmm.
those. Now, admittedly, it's a very slanted niche poll number of people who come out to the Renaissance
sure.
Festival. But what I find is these young people who are raised Christian, I haven't done a Muslim wedding yet. That would be fun. But people who are raised Christian, they come out to the festival as almost an excuse to have more of a secular,
more
of a humanist
mm-hmm.
style wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's already strange enough, and you see some of the older generation be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But once they see, there's an officiant, there's a harpist,
yep.
they say similar words.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do put in some trappings of religiosity, which is what I call a community call and response.
Yeah.
When the bride comes, if she wants to stand up, I ask the entire community to support them as they go forward. Please respond by saying, we do. Everyone
mm-hmm.
says, we do. They sit down. That's a touchstone enough, because
mm-hmm.
I do have to walk a fine line between what the couple wants
mm-hmm.
and some religious specific language.
Yeah.
So it's been a challenge off and on.
My ceremonies are very short. They're about 10 to 12 minutes long, tops.
Yes.
Tops.
Yes.
And also, on top of that, I'm actually, I'll toot my horn. I'm proud of the fact that every wedding I've done for strangers and a few that I've done for friends, because most of my friends aren't religious and they don't have religious families either. But mm-hmm. the few that I've done there's always like one elderly or older family member who comes up and is like, I just want to say, you know, like, I'm a Christian and or we're Catholic or whatever, but I'm, and I wasn't sure about this wedding, but your ceremony was really beautiful. And I have to say, I'm pretty impressed. I didn't think, and when they told me it wasn't going to be a religious ceremony, I didn't think it was going to be anything worthwhile. And, you know, that happens, that's happened enough times, or it's like,
a handful, yeah.
Like,
well,
yeah.
You touched on, both of you guys have touched about what you look at when you do your ceremonies. You touch on universal themes
mm-hmm.
of what is relationship, what is love, what is a dynamic relationship. The longest one I've ever done was 23 minutes, and that was the Catholic Mass nighting
sure.
ceremony, blah, blah, blah. Mine are typically between 8 to 11
yep.
minutes.
Yep.
Because once you hit the 15-minute mark, people start looking around,
yep.
and time and time, I get the same thing. I'll have people of all ages come up, oh, that was wonderful, and oh, but it was short, it was sweet, it was focused.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
we're done.
Toil
yeah.
and Tumble, Spencer and Stacey, we
yeah.
did their wedding. And
I sang at their wedding.
Yep.
Just, yeah.
Yep. Nice. So Tim and I are at their wedding.
Yep.
And the sun was directly in the face of those of us
oh,
singing
yeah.
and officiating.
It was the
and
worst.
Everyone
oh,
watching the wedding was, I mean, the sun was on them, but like, the pictures of me, and my face is bright red. I am like, it is just bright sun,
yeah.
and I'm just like, it's so good. I was one of those ones where I'm like, I'm glad this is short. Like, let's get this done.
Yeah, the worst part is they wanted a slow, pretty song.
They
so,
did.
Yeah.
It was hot.
Oh,
it was a hot
yeah.
day.
So
yeah.
you had to stand there for that entire damn song. I only had to stand there for the song, but
the,
poor Molly, she's
it was
there
almost
for the
like
rest
a,
of it,
too. It was almost like a field
yeah.
spot. Like, there was no tree coverage or building or anything. It was just like a whole bunch of chairs in the sun.
I have learned when it comes to songs, if someone goes, yeah, my, you know, my cousin Betty wants to sing a song, I'll usually say two verses, two stanzas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whatever the song is, bump, bump. Because
yeah.
nope.
a 5-minute song, I used to be a professional caroler.
Oh, sure.
You know, you sing like all 4 verses of a
yeah.
carol, people come up, it's like, oh, these are not very good carolers. Wow, these guys are very good. By the 3rd verse, we're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter,
yeah.
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 So, you know, we got to move on to 5 questions.
Ooh,
I'm just
yeah.
going to say,
yeah.
If you're listening to our podcast and you need to get married, just know that everybody you're listening to right now
yep.
could marry you. You might want to just have me sing.
You could get married by Geeks Without God.
Yeah,
you
could. We
oh,
could.
That's
we
a thing.
Like,
yeah.
Nick
awesome.
And Molly could marry you. I could sing a
yeah.
song.
Can I just also say...
Tim and Molly could sing and I could marry you.
I could sing in the background.
Yeah.
yeah. I
could
do that.
One of the things I love about doing secular weddings is I consider it an opportunity to plant not a seed of doubt about faith in anyone's mind, but just that little seed of, well, I guess not all atheists are terrible. It's that whole like, well, I don't know, atheists, I've never met one. It's like, well, now you have, you know, maybe you don't know it, but like that little bit of like secularism is equal, you know,
turns
like
out,
or even
this atheist is not an asshole.
Yeah.
Or even like, see, it's everything a wedding just without the God,
you can
just
be
as good.
Good
it
without
counts.
God. Just yeah. that little good without God
we're
seed.
Good. We're good.
That's actually
without God.
That's where this podcast name came from, was that concept of can you be good without God? And we decided to do Geeks Without God.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
That's
yeah.
fabulous.
That's where it came
I love
from.
That.
Yep.
And if that was going to be one of your questions, it's too late. So we're
going
to move on to 5 questions. Tony has prepared 5 questions for all of us.
No, I have not.
And by
not.
Prepared, I mean he's going to think them up on the fly.
He's a professional question thinker.
Yeah.
Upper.
Yeah.
Sure. Wow.
He knows questions.
Good. All right. My first question is, if you could change one thing physically about mankind itself or its civilization, and I'm just going to throw mine out there.
Yeah.
If I could go back and change the whole concept and get rid of one-use items.
Ah.
Where it would be anathema to use something once and throw it away.
Sure.
I would change that. I think that would have drastic in good ways, drastic consequences for helping us in the shitstorm of climate change and degradation that we can face. So that's mine.
I would go back to, I believe it was around the 50s when, in America specifically, but they decided that sugar was better than fat because of the lower calories. And that whole idea of, It's but the thinness, that thinness culture that shifted, because I think the combination of thinness culture and valuing sugar over fat is what's led to a lot of obesity, diabetes, other health-related problems that have just, you know, spurred on in elderly people and, you know,
the
young
type
kids.
And the way that, that food is processed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that, sure. That we add sugar to everything, sure. Just a lot of that.
It's interesting you say that. I saw a picture from 1967 on a boardwalk in New Jersey. I couldn't find a single, quote, fat person in this picture. And there was at least 80 to 90 people just in this section mm-hmm. of boardwalk, all pasty white, not a single overweight person.
A lot of it is having to walk.
Yep.
A lot of it is having is eating more fats than sugars. And a lot of it is just in general not having as many snack foods available. Like, you had to make it if you wanted to eat it.
Yeah. But no, it's a good one. I like
yeah.
that.
Nick is still thinking, so I guess I will just say if I could change one thing, I would go back to the founding of the United States of America, and I would have, when they were writing the Constitution, the slaveholders not win.
Okay, I like that.
If the non-slave states had more control over the writing of the Constitution, how much different this country would be now. And by the fact that this country is the most powerful country in the world, or certainly one of the most powerful countries in the world and one of the most influential countries in the world, how that could change the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. Boy, when, you know, Molly, when you said 1950s, I assumed you were going to say something else, and now I can't get that out of my head, so that's what I'm going with. And that's in when the Cold War started up, along with hating communism came hating atheism God being put on our money and becoming a
Pledge of Allegiance,
a big part of getting added to the pledge, big part of American culture, became like xenophobically Christian
because the communists are atheists,
right.
Because it was a useful tool to fight, to get people geared up against the godless communists, because we're a Christian nation. And that idea wasn't as strong or kind of violent before the Cold War. I hate that that got used as a tool. And I think we're in a lot worse place now for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think with that has come a culture of ignoring science and fact, because religion is a useful tool, and it started being used in America in that way.
It's used against us, like in all the, of us. I mean, because it didn't benefit Christians either. It turned Christianity into the warped bullshit that it is today,
right.
By and large.
Right. I think it did a lot of damage.
All right.
That's okay. Fair.
Number two. Second question. If you could, I don't know if I've asked this one before, if you could change all of the races on the planet to one color.
Are you not, saying what's the best race?
No. That's not a human color.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but you let me finish.
I'm just saying.
Yes, and we're all gonna know.
It's tricky because
translucent.
Horrifying. Okay, well, that's, you know, all answers are correct. That's
like, I think that would be crazy cool. I think it'd be super cool if, like, you could be healthy, translucent. It would, like, think of how many medical, like, things you would be able to tell. You'd be able to see tumors. You'd be able to see, like, you'd be able to know when you had, like, blockages.
Oh, you're talking transparent.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess not totally transparent, but like somewhat. I mean, you'd be able to see your blood vessels and stuff through your, I mean, they're not that far down.
And the ultraviolet radiation would scramble our organs.
No, because like in this world, we evolved to be fine. Like, sure. It's not like change it and then we all die. Like, all
right. I tell you what, the concepts of physical beauty would be drastically changed.
Right? They
would
be like,
oh my God, you've got a healthy looking spleen.
Look,
you are
how big
hot.
Your veins are.
Yes.
Like, amazing.
Your heart
yeah.
pumping like a horse. Oh, yeah. You're, yeah. Interesting.
The micro expressions you could view in people to gauge whether or not they are stressed or telling lies and that sort of thing. You could literally see their heartbeat.
You wouldn't be able to see the shit in your intestines, right? You wouldn't be able to see people's poop or the food they ate in their stomach.
No. But you'd be able to see the blood coursing as
you'd be able to see the blood and you'd be able to see tumors if they were growing.
You'd see if their colon was full. Sure. Right. Because you can see that, especially with the sunlight coming
out. Good luck hiding your anorexia
Molly, you may have won the answer for, I don't know what I'm going to come up with.
I'm just going for Gamora Green.
Green is good.
That's the color I go for.
I hear it's not easy, but I think we can try.
I think if everybody was green, it'd be pretty goddamn easy.
I don't know, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I think shades of red and to orange would be great. Like that very narrow part of the warm light spectrum.
So like Oompa Loompas.
Not bright, like a really subdued. This isn't going to help our listeners at all, but like our curtains.
Oh, okay.
Like that kind of a like a not bright, kind of muted, warm tones. Mm-hmm. I think
would
be great.
What color are you calling our curtains?
The red.
Okay, good.
I'm saying red to orange, but not like brighter fluorescent.
Okay. There's just a
skosh of
orange.
For a second, I thought you were saying our curtains were orange, and I was like, this is a whole new thing. These are not orange curtains.
And I know you're saying one color, but I think like a little variety in shade would be great, but not necessarily variety in color to break the meaning of the intent of the question.
For me, it'd be sky blue.
Really?
Just sky blue, because almost any color looks pretty good with it.
True.
Yeah. You know, for clothing and stuff like that. And then just, it's a happy color.
Yeah.
A whole planet filled with happy colored people.
Yeah. And if you were watching somebody jumping on a trampoline, they would disappear and then reappear and then disappear and then...
On non-cloudy days.
Anyway. Like okay. All right, question three.
Go back in time. More than 500 years. Live for a week. Assuming, of course, you can survive the food, the diseases. Sure. Assuming, of course, you can blend in with the local populace.
So you got immunizations against all that.
Assuming you can speak the language or languages. What ancient, I guess 500 years back, what ancient or old civilization would you wish to visit?
So... 500 years?
500 or more.
So at least 500.
At least 500.
Ancient Egypt, and I would like to go. I would like to go during the Middle Kingdom, I think. So like not toward the end or the fall, mm-hmm.
Not
the very very early.
But like their height.
Middle Kingdom, yeah. When like a lot of those pyramids and monuments are being built, you know, in those stages. I think that would be...
Oh, by the aliens? Awesome.
Yes,
so cool.
Yes. I want to meet aliens. That's my whole goal. Yeah, no, I think it would be... I've always been fascinated with that. I think it'd be so cool to go to the farms down on the banks of the Nile and just see the markets and all of the different ways that people lived and, you know, the temples to all the different gods and the way that I always like civilizations that are, you know, pantheistic and in that like little gods way, right? Where they're asking for favors on a daily basis with offerings. I think that'd be really cool.
Cool.
Assuming all the fitting in and language and all that comes with it, I would stay in North America, but I would go back to when there were... a lot of people don't realize there were pyramids in North America at one point. I would love to see this same land that I am familiar with, but with an entirely different civilization living here with their own monuments and cities and cultures. I think that would be fucking awesome, and it would give you a really different perspective on this continent.
The kids and I visited the site of the largest city in North America, pre-European settlers on the Mississippi. It's down in Illinois. I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but it's right outside of St. Louis. So
yeah.
That's cool.
And they did. They built pyramids. Out of earth. They were earthen pyramids.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. So cities down there named like Cairo and like they have all kinds of Egyptian and other like Middle Eastern cities named, which I don't never know where that came from or if it was from just like trying to be like that or some settler was like, I like the name of that. It sounds cool. Like, yeah.
See, my answer is similar. I would like to go back because we visited Mesa Verde in Colorado a few years back, and I would love to go back and be part of the cliff dwelling era in the United the United States, because that that's some really kind of amazing stuff of how they were able to build those homes in these indentations in the cliffs, and was... farm on the top of the mesa and hunt in the canyons below where their homes were. Anyway, that'd be cool.
900 to 1300 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's yours?
The kingdoms of Ethiopia.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, sure.
So 1000 years ago.
Yeah.
I would love to see the sprawling metropolis, because the country that we call now Ethiopia, I don't think was actually ever colonized. It was like the only African now country or area. And they had a hugely thriving culture that we catch glimpses of and stuff like that. I would absolutely love to see it. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Number four.
Number four. Food, because I love food.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
What would you consider if you had to eat one type of food the rest of your life as hell on earth?
Oh, as hell on earth.
Hmm.
We talked about favorite foods a lot.
Yeah.
But like hell on earth.
Oh. It would be not salad like leafy greens, but salad like noodle salads like or potato salads or whatever that are onion heavy, uncooked onion heavy.
Crunchy bits.
I don't even really like celery in those types of salads, but onions are just the fucking worst. It's purely textural. I don't know what it is about eating something cold that's been cooked, that has uncooked onions in it, that's mayonnaise-y and slimy. I'll eat like egg salad all day long, but if it has onions in it, it is like beyond fucking ruined, and I can't even, like, if I bite into this, like an egg salad sandwich and it has onions in it, I can't finish my bite.
You don't even like mayonnaise-based salads that much. Like, you will not choose them.
Right.
If that's what's on order, if that's what's for dinner, like, that's one thing. But, like, you won't be like, you know what, I'm going to order the egg salad, or I'm going to order the chicken salad sandwich. Like,
yeah, but, like, potato salad and egg salad are fucking delicious.
But you don't always eat them.
Well, yeah.
See, one man's heaven, another man's hell. Another man's hell. What you're describing actually is making my mouth water. Oh,
crazy.
Oh.
But yeah,
as soon as I hit a crunch, it's like that bite is dead to me.
Okay.
Molly, you got something?
I do, if you need some more time. All right. Deep fried food. Like if it was just like all you can have is like deep fried, like, oh, we battered this, like it's a deep fried candy bar. Oh, it's deep fried hot dish. Oh, it's deep fried pickles. It's deep fried mushrooms. Like, I just can't. I can't stand it. I like French fries. I like the occasional fried chicken, but like...
But if the fries are battered, they're out
for
you.
I hate battered fries.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I hate battered fries. I think they're awful. Like, if I order them and they come that way, I'm just like, oh, I'm not eating these. That's a waste. Like, I'll just...
Yeah.
I just don't like them. I don't like things that are like that over the top. I don't like the smell of fried food. When we go to Con Suite, one of the worst parts, or we go to a MegaCon, one of the worst parts of MegaCon is that in the Nom Suite, the food like making area, they do what they call shiny foods, where they get out the deep fat fryers and they deep fat fry a bunch of stuff, and almost everyone loves it, like truly loves it, and it makes me want to die. Like, I can't even go near there. I can't be near people who've been in the room.
Fortunately, like, it's not the entire weekend.
It's just like a couple hours. Yeah. At a time, but when that happens, I'm so sad.
If you're hanging out in that room not eating and just breathing, you'll gain 5 pounds.
So my answer is meatloaf.
Because
meatloaf is just like this soft.
I have to make meatloaf for Tim.
You know, it's not enough like a hamburger, and it's not enough like a steak.
Oh my gosh.
It's just kind of this middle ground, and everybody puts onions in them, and I hate it.
Oh, no. That's true. Not mine. Obviously not mine.
What about Salisbury steak?
Salisbury steak is just a fake hamburger.
Okay. All right. Okay.
It's a hamburger without a fucking bun and with gravy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like I don't hate meatloaf, but thinking about
if that's the rest of your
life. All I can eat is meatloaf.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be
like not even mashed potatoes and peas to go with.
Right, I know. Just meatloaf. That would be horrifying.
Yeah,
yeah.
For me, it's
never shit again.
You would, but you just wouldn't like yourself. Jellied meats.
Oh,
lutefisk.
Oh, yeah.
Salmon, aspic.
I just thought that went without saying.
Well, I'm willing to try.
Oh, shit, am I now going to have to eat jellied meats because I didn't choose it?
No. You're fried, though. I love fried food when I love it, and then I'm done for like a week or two or three.
Yeah.
But I like to try a lot of different things, and you know, local cuisine. Lutefisk. I tried lutefisk. I tried like a thimbleful. I will never do that again. Salmon aspic. People go, oh, it's so delicious. Oh, salmon aspic.
Aspic?
It's warm salmon jello.
Yeah. Aspic is terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
It doesn't matter what kind of aspic it is.
But thank you. For me,
that's, jelly. All right.
All right. All right. That's a fair answer. All right. Question number five.
What's the least amount of money you would accept to shave your head bald?
Ooh.
Now, for me, I will say my answer back when I had hair, which was the age of 25. I heard some... bite me. I'm very aerodynamic for those. I have, but honestly, if I could grow my hair back, you know, and have a hairline, I don't know as I would anymore. Yeah. This is really easy to take care of.
Yeah, sure.
You know, comb your hair with a towel, that kind of thing. When I was 25, someone offered me $500 to shave my head. And I did.
And that was 1930s dollars.
You're on top for asking the question.
I did. That was a point. A palpable point.
$3
my God. Yes. So for me, my price at the time
was $500.
$500.
All right.
I've done it for costumes. Like a Kingpin costume. Shaved my head and my beard. I would, if I got to pick the timing, I'd time it for convergence so that it opened up a lot of opportunities for me for costuming probably. And the cost would be whatever a nice Kingpin suit would cost me, because I would then coordinate that effort. So maybe as little as $500.
That's with the cane.
I have the cane.
Awesome.
The cane is a solid steel rod that the metalworker friends of mine capped and then threaded the top of and powder coated.
Oh my God.
And I screwed on a diamond tipped drawer pull.
And that's now that we don't have to go back there ever again, we can say that he dropped it and it broke a tile in the bathroom at the Doubletree.
like I lifted it up like 2 inches off the ground and just let it slide down through my hand, and it's heavy enough where that cracked a tile in the hotel.
It is a Kingpin.
It very
can.
Much is.
Yeah. Oh, it's
heighted for you and I, too.
It is great. It's huge.
Molly, now see, this is
$50,000.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. Fair. And I'll tell you why. I have very curly hair. It's very frizzy. I've had very short hair. I look very bad with very short hair. It would take me probably 3 years to grow my hair back out. And for two of those years, it would be very unattractive. I would hate myself. Like, I would... My self-esteem is pretty good, but like a lot of it is because I figured out how to make myself look a way that I like and that I can be confident. And my hair is a big part of that. So if I had to shave my head, that would mean going through two full years of feeling bad about myself. And for that, it's going to take $50,000.
I love that. Well, thank you.
Yeah. I've shaved my head for a charity, and I shaved it for a costume once.
Yep.
And Pat has made it really clear that it should never happen again, because she does not like me bald. And I'm not a super attractive human being. I accept this, but I'm super unattractive without hair.
When Nick shaved his hair and his beard, like, that was, it was like waking up next to a giant baby, and it was scary. I forgot he did it, and then I, like, woke up and was like, oh my God, like, so I can understand. Yeah. So, I understand Pat's plight.
So if it was just me that I had to deal with, I'd probably be, like, around the $500 range or something like that.
No, but
however, knowing...
World.
what I'd have to deal with that my wife would certainly not approve, I think I'd have to make it worth our while. So it'd probably be up around the $20,000 range.
All right. If I had the kind of head shape and hair type that like would look really cute with a little pixie cut, but that is not the world I live in. Like, I look like Ronald McDonald, like, for a good portion of the year. I've got pictures. I'll show you.
It's rough.
All right. So that's if you would like to sponsor our Patreon at $20,000 or $50,000 or perhaps only $500, you might be able to get somebody to shave their head. Just think about that. It's not listed on the Patreon site, but go ahead and just type in the $500 and then ask and we'll see what happens. Otherwise, Tony, so great to have you back in town. So glad to see you.
This is one of the highlights I look forward to every year as I travel this great country of ours. You guys are always provocative. You always, I just love being fully myself, and I love sometimes being challenged on points, sometimes challenging you. You guys always bring a perspective. I look forward to this. It's a highlight of my year.
Sam, we do as well.
Honestly, yeah. Sam, absolutely. Like, you're one of my favorite guests we've ever had. It's just such a joy to talk to you.
Yeah, you hear that, Ron?
I said it's a joy to talk to him.
Anyway, Tony, thanks so much for being here. As I mentioned, you can support us on Patreon. We are basically out of five questions.
Yeah, we don't have any.
So send them in. Just any five questions. They can be like who, what, why, where, when, and how. You can do that. And we will have to answer them.
What's your favorite color? What's your other favorite color?
Fanta Black. Fanta Black 2. Fanta Black 3, when they come out with it.
Seriously, your question. Whatever you want. What do you think of this movie? What do you think of this movie? Like, anything you want.
We don't care. Real. Just five fucking questions.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah. All right. And otherwise, we do this podcast literally every week. We have not figured out a way to stop ourselves. So come on back next week, and you will find us here.
Nick had surgery, and we didn't miss it.
I know, Nick had surgery, and we still did the goddamn podcast.
Yeah. That's how dedicated we are.
Yeah. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You're getting married, and you're getting married, and you're getting married. Everybody's getting married.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Well, guys, this is really good.